It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important stories.
An early childhood taxing district, what on earth is that?
The latest in politics and world affairs.
I don't think that we should be passing legislation that is so complicated that people kind of throw up their hands and say, oh, I can't understand it.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
It is not fair that just because you're a big business that you get a break on this and the little guy doesn't.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed. Let's have a conversation. Welcome to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website, Kim Munson. That's MONSON.com. All kinds of great information there. And be sure and sign up for our weekly email newsletter. You can do that at the website as well. Podcast recaps of all the shows are there. And go over to Facebook and like us as well. There's a lot of good posts that we make there as well. So happy Friday. Producer Steve, you have made it. It is Friday.
You bait me every Friday with this one. You just want me to say something, I don't know, make me the Eeyore to your Winnie the Pooh, I guess.
So it's a big week that we're coming into in the Christian faith. We start with Palm Sunday this Sunday, and it's going to be so weird not to be in church, Steve. We're doing virtual worship right now, and you know, I had taken it for granted to be able to go and worship at my church with my fellow Christians, and it's going to be really weird this year.
Yeah, it's been, 3 weeks already since my church put out a forecast about what was coming down the road, and even the suggestion of, you know, Palm Sunday, Easter, online only. I thought, oh my gosh, it's our biggest time of the year, and just to be limited to doing it online only, I have a hard time getting my head around that.
I know. There's so many things that we've taken for granted, and this has been a big wake-up call. You know, we've had Susan Harris on a number of times. She's one of our valued partners, and she's always talked about being grateful. And I think we step back and we see so many things that we should be grateful for. And so I'm certainly remembering all of that. But a great show plan for you today. You know, something that we have started is Headlines for Hope. These are 3-minute snippets of just different stories of maybe people that I've interviewed, many of them World War II veterans. Yesterday's was with World War II Army nurse Layla Morrison. She's going to turn 98 this July. But these are really special little stories, and I'd highly recommend that you go over to the website and check them out. And Steve, I think that you've really enjoyed these stories.
Oh, without doubt, the testimonies coming back and or the unique approaches that people in, you know, I guess most of them have been essentially a wartime veteran setting, and their methodologies of handling their experiences. You know, I'm thinking of the guy who was a prisoner of war in Vietnam, and when he was being pressured by the North Vietnamese to give names. So he simply gives them the name of his high school football coach, the assistant coach, other players on the team. And then to turn around, you know, 5-6 years later when he's back in the States, telling people in his home crowd, or hometown, who are seated in the audience, and says, hey, guys, you can't go back to Vietnam because they're looking for you.
So, yes, that was the story of Orson Swindell. So go to my website, check those out. I hope that you enjoy them. Let me know what you think about them. In the second segment, we'll be talking with two of my very valued partners, and that is Karen Levine, award-winning realtor with RE/MAX Alliance, and Lauren Levy. He's a mortgage financing specialist with Polygon Financial. And during these times of unrest and just kind of not what's going on, disruption, there's always opportunity. So I'm going to be excited to talk with them. And then in the third and fourth segment, Tom Petrie, he's the chairman of Petrie Partners, which is a Denver-Houston-based energy investment banking firm. And we'll be talking with him about oil. Certainly the oil markets have been just in very disrupted, let's just put it that way. So I'm going to be excited to chat with him as well on that. As we look at these issues, we look at them as freedom versus force, force versus freedom. And as we walk back, or as we walk through this crisis, this COVID-19 Wuhan virus crisis, we will come out on the other side. And as we look back, we will look back at politicians and bureaucrats that did they really work to do their job, which was to make sure that we have safe communities, certainly, or did they use their power to increase their power? And we're going to, you know, the veil is going to be off. As we go through and we look at this, we will need to hold these politicians and these bureaucrats and interested parties, these PBIs, accountable. Because during times of crisis, PBIs like to increase their power. And we will need, as people, to walk that back. Because ultimately, the question is freedom versus force, force versus freedom. Socialism ultimately comes down to force. And if something is a good idea, you should not have to force people to do it. You should be able to engage in the battle of ideas and persuade people to see your point of view. So we've got a lot of work that will be coming down the pike here as we walk through this disruption in our economy and in our lives. Always like to say thank you to our producers, producer Steve and the team, Zach, Patty, Keith, and Charlie. I'm very grateful to Crawford Broadcasting and to each of you, you listeners. You're treasured, you're valued. Today, strive for excellence. Take care of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body. And so our quote for today is from Teddy Roosevelt. Teddy Roosevelt Jr. was an American statesman, politician, conservationist, naturalist, and writer who served as the 26th president of the United States from 1901 to 1909. His face is depicted on Mount Rushmore alongside George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, and Abraham Lincoln, and he is generally ranked in polls of historians and political scientists as one of the five best presidents. And this is what he said. He said, "Nothing in this world is worth having or worth doing unless it means effort, pain, and difficulty." I think that's very timely for what we are walking through today, Steve.
Absolutely. And once again, we ring the bell for, you know, words spoken a long time ago that are incredibly significant to today.
So it's not that different. You know, and as we are looking at these different quotes in the past, we've realized, as I have looked at much of modern education, that they have really kind of poo-pooed all of our founders and men and women that have gone through challenges before and have not taught our kids the history of our country. And we need to take this time to kind of, you know, check out what's been going on in the education system. Now, Steve, there are a lot of wonderful teachers out there, but there has also been an agenda that has been, I think, somewhat anti-American. And certainly America has faults. It's not perfect. But the American idea of these individual rights of life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness is quite unique. And we are seeing with this Wuhan virus thing that borders matter. And so this is a big battle right now between nationalism and people that recognize that there's borders, that they have their country, and globalism. And I think that as we see this whole globalism and the effects of that, we're realizing that that is not the greatest idea. Steve?
Well, the big rallying cry on the other side is open borders. We must have open borders. Well, from a, you know, just health standard of all civilized countries that are trying to maintain some level of a health standard, you say, how could this possibly be? If people are coming from other parts of the world where there are no health standards, and you say, you want to turn them loose in this culture?
Yeah, it really doesn't make sense. And yet we see, you know, who were some of the first politicians and bureaucrats to lock everything down? They were people that were open borders, but now we're realizing that they want us to have our borders of our own houses, our apartments, and our yards. So I guess they are really have gone the other way now on wanting to have borders, don't you think?
Well, a story caught my eye earlier this week. Some town, smaller town on the U.S.-Mexican border, and the town itself was putting up some kind of a resistance to any people coming from the U.S. into Mexico because of the, you know, COVID-19. I thought, oh, for crying out loud, for the last 30 years, you've been turning a blind eye to the people who were headed north or the northbound people. But anybody on a southbound trajectory, all of a sudden you have an issue with?
But the point is borders do matter. You know, and Donald Trump was on this long before anybody else. And again, just to make that correlation, these politicians and bureaucrats and interested parties that were saying that we need to have no borders, open borders, all of a sudden, they're the first ones to put borders around us on where we can go and where we can't. So I just find that a really interesting correlation.
Well, as you would expect, they're pointing the finger right now at the president, saying he didn't react quick enough, he didn't do X, Y, Z. Seems to me the very first thing he did was ban travel from China. And what label did they hang on him right away? I mean, he
racist.
Can't win.
Right. Yeah. So that's really important. Let's do a quick, I like this little funnies. Did you happen to look at it yet, Steve?
I did.
Okay. Cash, check, or charge? I asked after folding items the woman wished to purchase. As she fumbled for her wallet, I noticed a remote control for a television set in her purse. So do you always carry your TV remote? I asked. No, she replied, but my husband refused to come shopping with me, and I figured that this would get his attention.
You know, I got a comment because my cousin's wife back in the East Coast commented the other day how she misses shopping. She can't wait to get out and go shopping. I said, you got to be kidding me.
No, that I can understand that. Actually, I'm not really a shopper, but I know that a lot of women do. It's just something that they enjoy doing. So a couple of things. I just, first of all, wanted to make a point. You know, we have seen Andrew Cuomo all over, you know, the television, and he's whining. Instead of doing his job and taking care of New Yorkers, he's whining about the president. You know, you're seeing him continue to politicize this whole thing instead of pulling together. But this is so interesting. Uh-huh. You know, we have this coronavirus possible treatment. It's an anti-malarial drug. And apparently, Andrew Cuomo has issued an executive order prohibiting doctors to prescribe two anti-malarial drugs that look like they're a great treatment. Now, and Dr. Oz reported this. This was in, I don't see exactly where it was. But anyway, Dr. Oz has called on Cuomo to reverse that executive order. And don't you find it interesting that there is a possible treatment? And with Cuomo all over the television, all over the internet, you know, whining about all the difficulties of New Yorkers, but yet he puts in an executive order that would prohibit doctors to prescribe this. It's just beyond reason, Steve.
Well, obstructionism is, you know, a favorite trick of that side of the fence. But, and if it happens, you heard it here first. I'm not saying it's going to, but why all of a sudden is he getting so much screen time? And the theory is that old Joe is not going to make it. Old Joe Biden is not going to make it. And they're going to try to slip Cuomo in for Biden. But again, that's just a theory at this point.
Well, and the other thing was a headline yesterday that Patty had is it looks like the Democrat Party is going to postpone their convention by at least a few weeks. And I thought that was kind of interesting as well. So, yeah, as you mentioned, stay tuned.
Anything that buys them some time.
Yeah, exactly, to buy some time. So before we go to break, though, we need to really buckle down and help all of our restaurants, bars, and taverns. With Governor Polis and Mayor Hancock's edicts to close dine-in options for individuals, restaurant workers are on lean times right now. And so restaurants are getting creative, and Hooters Restaurants is a value partner of mine and really support my shows. So let them know how much you appreciate their sponsorship by stopping by and picking up dinner to take home, or you can have Hooters wings delivered to your front door. So go to it's order.hooters.com, and you can put your order there, and then you can drop by and pick it up curbside, and we'd greatly appreciate that. We need to help each other as we're working through this. We're going to go to break. When we come back, a couple others of my very valued partners, Karen Levine with RE/MAX Alliance and Lord Levy with Polygon Financial, which he's a mortgage specialist, will be here to update us on what's happening there. We'll be right back.
Water's Edge Winery and Bistro is celebrating 5 years in business and is now open Tuesday through Sunday, 3 p.m. to 8 p.m. Located near the northwest corner of Arapahoe and University, they are offering to-go food and wine to keep you fed and happy. Call 720-381-6663 to place our curbside to-go order, or stop in and grab your bottles and lunch or dinner. That's 720-381-6663, or follow Water's Edge Winery and Bistro Centennial on Facebook or Instagram for updates and specials.
From the lakes of Minnesota
to the hills of Tennessee. Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson, and every day at noon, Aaron Will came up with this idea to wherever you are, get your phone out or on your computer, and play God Bless the USA loudly. So make sure that you do that. I got a text from Jason McBride, Presidential Wealth Management, yesterday, and he said that he had blared it in his neighborhood, so good for him. And a couple of other things. I had mentioned yesterday that I was going to be on Fox News on a panel last night on the Martha McCallum Show. And actually, Susan Kochevar as well, and Dee Dee Chisholm. Well, Susan and I were standing by, and ended up we were not on there. It was, I guess, that showbiz. It was going to be a great claim to fame, but Dee Dee was, which was really cool. She, as you know, she's with Bella Healthcare and Wellness. But what had happened apparently is Martha McCallum had a number of experts on, and they ended up talking longer than anticipated, so 11 of us got bumped. So I tell you what, Steve, it was my claim to fame, but it didn't happen.
Bummer. We had things we wanted to autograph. I'm standing by.
Well, just hold on to that. Okay. So, hey, on the line with me is two of my valued partners, Karen Levine with RE/MAX Alliance and Lauren Levy with Polygon Financial. He's a mortgage specialist. So, Karen Levine, welcome to the show.
Good morning.
And Lauren, how are you doing today?
Doing great. Good to be on.
Okay, there's a lot going on. So, Lauren, let's start with you on interest rates. I have not really been paying attention this week just because there's so much going on. What has happened with interest rates in the mortgage market?
You know, we're kind of in a leveling off period right now. There hasn't been much going on with interest rates at all. They've kind of just been hanging out for a little while. With that said, as Karen can probably tell you, there's been plenty of transactions going on, lots of buys and sells in the real estate market. The refinances have cooled off a little bit until some of this market volatility settles down. It's a pretty long explanation as to why loans have kind of frozen temporarily, but we're in that situation here now. People think it might be for maybe another couple weeks. That doesn't mean loans aren't getting done. It just means that the rates aren't down where they were.
Okay. So, Karen, we are coming into springtime, which is a big time for the real estate market. And Lauren just said that there's been some activity. What do you see going on?
Well, in the midst of what we refer to as unprecedented waters, in the last 7 days, along the Front Range, our 11-county metro area, 1,651 new homes came on the market, and we absorbed or put under contract, we have pending, 1,169 homes. So we are seeing, as Lauren said, the same very similar activity that we were seeing earlier in the year, which is, as new listings come on, they are getting absorbed by the buyer marketplace, which is exciting to see. We've had to engage some new protocols with regards to showing homes and how we get homes closed to keep everybody safe. But I think the realtor community has really stepped up and done and is doing a great job making sure that the consumer is protected and that when people are showing homes, they are doing it safely.
Well, and, you know, we've had Randall O'Toole on talking about housing as well, and there's been such a push by PBIs to try to get people into apartments and, lesser land footprint, if you will. But what we're really seeing is the safest place that you can be is in your home with your own backyard and also your own personal vehicle. And so I think as we get through this disruption, we're going to see people say, you know, kind of pump the brakes on all these apartments and let's move us more towards home ownership again. At least that's what I think, Karen. What do you think?
Well, I definitely think people who own homes in this current environment definitely have a sense of safety and a sense that their shelter is protected despite everything else. And so the value of homeownership, I definitely think, is going to come back to the center of our economy, as it always has been, even though they've tried to allude to that it's not an important piece of our society. I think we're going to see it become a more important piece, because as the financial markets are jumping all over the place, our housing market is staying very strong, very stable, and we're still experiencing appreciation. So a good place, one, to have a roof over your head, and two, a good place for you to have some of your investment dollars or your wealth building.
Okay. So as we're moving into this, there may be, was that a greater number of houses coming on the market than we've seen, or has that been in line with kind of what's been happening?
I think it's a little bit in line. It might be slightly higher, and I'll be totally honest. I didn't start looking at things at an hourly, daily, weekly basis until 2 weeks ago. So I'm trying to get a handle on how do things actually look day to day. But based on the fact that we're still seeing strong under contract activity, tells me, you know, this spring selling season isn't coming to a halt. I think we may see that the selling season extends through the summer, depending on how long we're in a, you know, shelter in place situation.
Okay. So now, Lauren, you mentioned that interest rates, it kind of sounds like it's trying to figure out what's going on. But if people are thinking that they might want to get into a house, you could pre-qualify them and then lock in a rate a little bit later, right?
Absolutely. And that's kind of what we're doing, Kim. That's a good point. We're just talking to people, getting all the pertinent information, making sure we have it, so that if they want to go looking, or if the rates dip back down again, we don't have to have the whole conversation at that time. We would have already had it. The biggest thing that's causing disruption in my world is on the grand national level, not just Colorado. This is the whole country, is with the job loss situation that has happened. Lenders are nervous that people may not have a job, the same job they did when they applied for the loan, may not be there when the loan is ready to fund. And so that's causing some of the disruption, and it's causing some of the extra protocols that Karen mentioned. She has protocols for showing houses. We have protocols for getting loans closed. We have to re-verify at the very last minute that people's job situation hasn't changed. And so there's just a lot of disruption, and people are unsure. And when you have uncertainty, things get a little haywire sometimes.
And it is such an unprecedented time. How are you talking with people, Lauren, about this as we're working through this? Because it is such a weird time in America right now.
That's so true. And it really depends, Kim. It depends on who we're talking to. So there's the majority of this country, I would say, is unaffected by their jobs. They can work from home. You know, most people aren't going to the office, but their jobs afford them the ability to work at home. But if we've got a potential home buyer that maybe we pre-qualified, that was a restaurant worker or something like that, where through no fault of their own, their business has been forced to shut down, someone like that is going to have to wait and go through some different protocols to maintain their qualifications to get a loan. And so it's just a different conversation with whoever you're talking to.
But you should still have that conversation, right? Even though there is that disruption,
absolutely.
You'd highly recommend at least have that conversation.
Absolutely. I think everyone's in agreement that whatever the situation is, it's going to pass, whether it's a month, which not many people think it might be, or maybe 2-3 months. This will pass, and the people that have been affected will rebound. There's differing ideas of how long the rebound will take. But even the people that are in trouble now will eventually come back to the market. Their jobs will hopefully come back. And they'll be right there in the market to buy a home. And so it's worthwhile to get everything in line so that when it does bounce back, that part of the job is done already.
Okay. And Karen, if people are interested in looking at a home, how does this work right now?
Depending on the desires of the seller, we are offering virtual tours so that, you know, they can go online and they can do a virtual walk through the property. There have been and definitely are getting more business are professional photographers and videographers. But I personally, if I'm allowed to go into the property, I can FaceTime the consumer, or I can meet the consumer at the property. And if I do meet the consumer at the property, the buyer, we're going to do things like remove our shoes before we go into the home. We're going to ask the buyer not to touch doorknobs and light switches and allow me to do that, me wearing gloves, utilizing hand sanitizer, et cetera. And we're going to be very timely and appropriate as we walk through the home, but get a good sense. And I'm still showing homes. I'm meeting the client at the property. We are doing as we've asked and keeping our distance and allowing them to see the property. And homeowners have been very gracious as far as, especially with vacant homes, it's not as much of a concern. But if it's a home that's occupied, we may be limiting showings, and we're also asking that you wait till if there's a party in the home, wait for them to leave before you enter the home. Whereas, you know, we were having last spring multiple parties in a house at once, coming and going. So we're just having to take our time. We're having to be more, mindful and more intentional. But that's not keeping people from wanting to sell their homes and or needing to buy a home.
Okay. And how can people reach you, Karen Levine, with RE/MAX Alliance?
They can reach me at 303-877-7516.
That's 303-877-7516. Karen, thanks so much. We'll do another weekly update next week, and I really appreciate it. And Lauren Levy with Polygon Financial, how can people reach you?
They can reach me at 303-880-8881.
Okay, 303-880-8881. We will talk to you guys next week.
Okay, thank you, Kim.
Thanks so much. So before we go to break, we're going to be talking with Jason McBride, Presidential Wealth Management. As you all know, the financial markets have just been all over the place, and there's a lot of emotion in the financial markets right now, and you can see that as that works through all this volatility. But there's always great opportunity as well. And, certainly there's great American companies that are a lot cheaper than they were 3 or 4 weeks ago. Jason McBride, Presidential Wealth Management, it is Friday. It's been a wild week. What's going on in your world?
Well, I thought I was going to be on the Kim Monson show, and Steve hung up on me. So I know you felt last night now.
Yes, rejection. It's so tough, isn't it?
it is a tough one. So, pretty interesting. A couple of things is, of course, we got a giant quotation mark shocking number of jobless claims yesterday, over 6 million. And, Kim, I honestly fail to see why that is so shocking. They've shut down businesses. They've made people go home, not in every business. So I would have been shocked if we wouldn't have seen that many claims for unemployment. But, you know, there's a lot of folks that are saying the entire economy has ground to a halt, and it's far from it. You, me, Lauren, Karen, Steve, you got 5 people on this show right now that are still working and employed, and our economy is not ground to a halt. There are certain parts of it that have, but that is a misnomer to say that the entire economy has ground to a halt.
Yeah, and I was looking at headlines on before we got on the air this morning, and my gosh, there's just, there's different words that people can use that either may imply something that's not true or scare people. And to your point, there's still a lot going on in the economy. But man, over in the restaurant side, I was on a call last night with some people that own some restaurants, and it's pretty scary there. You know, they've put their capital up, and employees. I mean, it's not easy to let employees go. It's rough over there on the restaurant side.
It is rough. Now, some of them are still doing takeout, and as you know, right, Kim, my son Preston works at Maggiano's, and they're still doing a pretty good takeout business. He's picking up shifts of, running food out to people's cars for them, and he says people are being pretty generous with the tip, so there's another bit of evidence that, you know, Americans are pulling together and we're trying to do good to help with the economy. And he said that, you know, people have been very generous with their tips, with him bringing the stuff out to the cars. So I think that's great. So, again, the entire economy is not shut down. I mean, part of it is very shut down right now. I heard somebody yesterday, some gal that was just screeching that we were going to get 10 times the amount of unemployment we had back in 2008. Well, we had 10% back then. Is she saying we're going to 100%? I think that's very unlikely.
Well, I think it's unlikely as well. We are Americans, and we have a great American spirit. And if people are, you know, taking a look at things, they should probably give you and your colleagues, all the guys and gals over at Presidential, a call for help, because now's a good time to maybe take their temperature on where they are on their investment portfolio.
I think that, yeah, that's a good idea. I mean, it's a little bit tough to do a meeting right now. I mean, we could still do them, Kim, discovery sessions, some of the more technologically advanced advisors, you know, have Zoom video going, and they're doing the video meetings. My internet's too slow at home, so I'm still stuck old school just over the phone. But, you know, there's nothing wrong with a good old phone call, just to give us a call and talk to one of our fine advisors. If you have questions about your portfolio or a particular investment, or you just worried and want someone to speak with to kind of be a steady hand, I think this is a great time to get to know one of the fine men and women that work at Presidential Wealth Management.
Well, for sure. And that number is 303-694-1600, 303-694-1600. And Natalie will be at the virtual switchboard at 7:30. So that's a great way to reach you.
Hey, Kim. For the record,
yeah.
For the record, I did not hang up on him.
No, he did. He's trying to get rid of me. Been trying since I started with you, Kim. He's been trying.
Well, I'll talk to him about that. So, Jason McBride, I highly recommend people reach out to you. All the guys and gals over at Presidential Wealth Management can help. And again, that phone number is 303-694-1600, 303-694-1600. Jason, have a great week.
All right. Thanks, Kim. Have a great show.
Okay. And we're going to go to break. When we come back, Tom Petrie, who is really an expert on the oil industry, it's had a real disruption, and it's been about 3 weeks since we talked with him. This is a show that's brought to you by Liberty Oilfield Services, because hydrocarbons, reliable, efficient, and affordable energy really helps us live prosperous lives. And while we are in this kind, quote-unquote, shelter at home, it is really nice to have reliable and efficient and affordable energy. So let's talk to Tom Petrie when we come back about that. We'll be right back.
Award-winning realtor Karen Levine has 30 years of experience with RE/MAX Alliance. As a director with the National Association of Realtors, Karen Levine works to protect private property rights. Karen Levine believes in home ownership. Because of Karen's love of dogs, Karen volunteers with GRR, Golden Retriever Rescue of the Rockies, helping golden retrievers find their forever homes. Choose Karen Levine to buy or sell your home because she understands that it's more than just a house. Karen Levine comes highly recommended by Kim Munson. Call award-winning realtor Karen Levine with RE/MAX Alliance today at 303-877-7516. That's 303-877-7516.
Did you know Hooters wings can fly? That's right. Your favorite wings can be picked up for to-go and can even be delivered right to your doorstep. Take advantage of Hooters' delicious lunch specials, like our seaworthy Baja fish tacos, mouthwatering Western burger, or our new roasted wings. Lunch specials are available to go Monday through Friday from 11:30 a.m. to 3 p.m. Curbside service available. Place your order online at order.hooters.com. Get your wings to fly only at Hooters.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
And I'm proud to be an American, where at least
And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Podcast of the show can be found there. And go over into Facebook and like us as well. There is so much going on in our world right now, and I'm really excited to talk with Tom Petrie. He is the chairman of Petrie Partners, which is a Denver-Houston-based energy investment banking firm. Tom graduated from West Point and earned his MSBA in finance from Boston University, and the Colorado School of Mines bestowed on him an honorary doctorate of engineering. So he is just the guy to talk to about what's going on in our energy markets. Tom Petrie, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Kim.
Our world has changed significantly since about 3 weeks ago when we last talked.
It has.
In energy, I think let's start with COVID-19, though, first. It certainly has disrupted our markets. What's your thoughts about that, Tom Petrie?
Well, you know, it's of a magnitude that's really unprecedented. The closest analog to this particular pandemic, I think, is the 1918 Spanish flu. That one was even more deadly in percentage terms. It was global. Millions and millions of people died. I've seen a wide range of estimates, but it was also very, very disruptive at that time. And it did circle the globe in remarkably short order, right in the aftermath of the end of World War One. This one has been powerfully disrupted because the lessons learned from the Spanish flu of 1918 have caused the experts that we've heard from, and they know what they're talking about, I think, to develop the kind of guidelines that have now shut down a meaningful part of the global economy. It's important, as they've said, to suppress the contagion as much as possible, flatten the curve, as they speak of it, so as not to overload the hospital systems. And that does require altered states for many of us, the social distancing and much curtailed gathering activities of people have implications. The world last year was producing and consuming 100 million barrels of oil per day. Today, there are varying estimates about how much of an impact this social distancing has had. But when we talked 3 weeks ago, it looked like an 8 to 10 million barrel a day problem of oversupply. Today, the estimates vary from anywhere from 20 million barrels a day, twice that, to possibly almost three times that, 30 million barrels a day. That's not a permanent altering in all likelihood if they're successful in containing the spread of the virus. And there is evidence to suggest that the distancing protocols will do that. But there's no question but what it's a big challenge right now for OPEC, for the U.S. shale producers. And when we come out the other side, I don't think there's any question but what some altering in our economic activity and behavior will continue to affect the oil and gas industry. In the near term, there's not an easy answer as to how to deal with that much oversupply.
So, Tom Petrie, we've seen, you know, people that are talking about climate change, they've kind of tried to shut down the energy business through policy. But as we are sheltering in our homes or sequestered in our homes, I realize, you know, the fact that we have reliable and efficient and affordable energy is really important. And so I think the conversation may change a bit as we move into the future. What's your thoughts on that, Tom Petrie?
I agree with you very much on that. First of all, the role of hydrocarbons in fostering healthier lives and better prosperity, not just in the United States, but in many other countries around the world, is critical. And it's a way oversimplified solution to think if we just don't consume fossil fuels, we'll solve the climate issues as represented today, and that the problems will go away. In fact, the side effects of the disruption of the fossil fuel industry. There are a number of them that really need to be thought through much more thoroughly than has happened so far in the public dialogue.
And, you know, Tom, I think people may not have been paying attention to what has been happening from a policy standpoint. Before this whole thing, I think we took a lot for granted. We were kind of fat and happy. We had very busy lives. We didn't realize that our lives could be disrupted just like they have within just 3-4 short weeks. And so I think people will be paying more attention to what is happening in the policy standpoint on these things. I certainly hope so. What do you think? There's awakening on that?
I do. I do think that complacency, that taking things for granted, are changing in many ways. There's a remarkable process going on as we have this social distancing. I think we come to appreciate better what human interaction is all about. I had a discussion on this with my son last night, and it's remarkable to see. There's a certain degree, as we've had to dial back our direct interaction, there's an extra degree of, I think, consideration and politeness developing in the society, which has tended to overcome some of that polarization issue that we were noting in recent years leading up to this.
You know, and that reminds me years and years ago, back Wilbur Wilberforce, as he was in England regarding the British slave trade, he had two things he wanted to do. He wanted to get rid of the British slave trade, which he did, which was before the Americans actually, America was founded. But the other thing is he was concerned about bringing back good manners to British society. And it's interesting that you would say that. I'm hearing a lot of people say people have gotten a little nicer during this time. And I think that's really positive, Tom.
I agree. And I think it has broader implications about deeper, more thoughtful consideration of what we're dealing with on the climate change issues and on the values that we hold as a society. There is a sense of more shared sharing of the pain, more caring about pain for various individuals dealing with the challenges that we have today.
Well, I think that that's good news. Let's go to break, Tom Petrie. A couple of things. We wanted to talk a bit about the Saudis and the Russians, and then we had a caller. Steve just texted me and is asking why big oil won't increase refining capacity or capability. So let's go to break. When we come back, let's put that question on the table and then talk about Russia and Saudi Arabia. So we'll be right back with Tom Petrie with Petrie Partners.
A reverse mortgage can be an important financial tool for individuals 62 and older. It is essential to understand the process so that all of your questions are answered. With over 17 years in the mortgage industry, Lauren Levy, Polygon Financial Group, has the experience to answer your questions. Lauren knows that each financial transaction is personal. If you'd like to explore your options on a reverse mortgage or with rates down, explore options to remodel your home, buy a rental property, or move, call Lauren Levy at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881 for a mortgage checkup. You want to succeed, so you need to dress for the job, event, or relationship that you seek. For more than 30 years, entrepreneur and stylist Kim Munson has been helping women look their very best. And guys, Kim can help you with made-to-measure shirts that fit great and you'll love to wear. Guys and gals, if you want to up your game, freshen your look, email kim@kimmunson.com for your initial style consult. Kim@kimmunson, MONSON.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out my website. That is kimmunson.com. And we've been playing Lee Greenwood, God Bless the USA, because we had Erin Will on the other day, and she came up with this idea that at noon throughout the country, on whatever device, your computer or your phone, play God Bless the USA. And so that's why we are doing that. We have Tom Petrie on the line with us. This is our Health and Hydrocarbons show. And we are realizing as we are sequestered in our homes that reliable, efficient, and affordable energy is really a good thing. Could you imagine if our electricity was intermittent and we didn't have heat? It would be just not very much. It's not really that much fun right now, Tom, to not have the freedom of movement. But, man, if we didn't have reliable energy, it would really not be fun.
That is very much the case.
So let's move on here. We had a caller that called in and asked why big oil won't increase refining capacity or capability. How would you respond to that, Tom Petrie?
Well, I'd say the challenge right now is not deficient capacity. We have enough capacity to meet the needs. The challenge that's going on right now in the refining sector is to make sure that the kind of refining we have is suited to the characteristics of the oil that's being turned into fossil fuel products. The industry has actually been quite responsive, and there are challenges that they face that are coming from the regulatory side, and frankly, there's an issue of just what one can do in the lead times involved to get a properly approved refinery expansions. So I think the right now, we've got gasoline prices declining, partly because of the cost of crude input, but also because it's a very competitive business, and the availability of clean fuels is out there. There's ample availability at a very reasonable price. So I don't think it's necessarily a problem. It could be a problem somewhere down the road, depending on just how the regulatory policies unfold from here. The industry wants to supply the fuel to people, and there really have not been, this time around in the last decade, we've not had shortages at all like what we saw in the 70s, parts of the 80s, and even in the 90s during interruptions of fuel, typically involving actions in the Middle East. As we're now set up with the shale revolution that's occurred, more of our supply is domestic, and there is an adaptation of the refining system to run that kind of fuel more, that kind of crude oil input more than heavier oils from the Middle East and things like that.
Okay, so Tom Petrie, that's actually a couple of questions. You mentioned that we have not had the shortages like we did in the 70s and 80s because we have actually, you know, been able to become an exporter even on energy, where back in the 70s, 80s, we were so dependent on the Middle East. I'm concerned, though, with prices coming down so low that it may put some of our independent energy producers out of business. What's your thoughts on that?
Sadly, you're right on the money on that judgment. We do have a situation where there are more independent producers than we've had in any of the prior three or four decades, and some have become over-levered. There was quite a land rush for the shale development opportunities, and two, the capital markets were quite accommodating for new equity issuance and new bond issuance. And so with the change conditions that have come from the global oversupply and the disruption that is associated with the coronavirus, we're in a situation where a restructuring of some of the enterprises that are over-levered is in the offing. Earlier this week, we saw the prepackaged bankruptcy. That's an anticipatory bankruptcy of Whiting Petroleum. And that's viewed by many, and I think correctly, that there'll be others that follow because of that. That doesn't mean that they'll totally go out of business. The one thing about our bankruptcy law in this country is that it does provide for ways in which The lenders can restructure. Sometimes their loans are turned into equity, and there's a recapitalization. Usually that's at a penalty to the earlier equity owners. So there is pain involved, and I don't mean to belittle that at all. And there will be, there definitely will be forced restructurings where anticipatory ones are deferred. Often the enterprises run out of flexibility. So we're going to see consolidation. I think there'll be a healthy aspect to it because some of the combinations will result in enterprises that have more scale and a sounder long-term capitalization. But there's no question but what that's going to be one of the hallmarks of probably the next several years while that consolidation occurs.
Okay, Tom, so we're getting close to the end of the show, and I have big questions still, and that is with what's going on with the Saudis and Russia. What's the update on that?
Well, that's center stage. You're right. There are a number of U.S. oil company parties who are going to be also doing they're also going to be doing various things that involve advising the president on the Russian and Saudi move for market share. And that move for market share has been a really disrupting force. The president has made some remarks the last couple of days that he has now had conversations with both the Russian leader, Vladimir Putin, and with the MBS, the Crown Prince of Saudi Arabia, and he thinks that they're going to be moving toward some kind of an accommodation or change of strategy. I do believe that when the accord between Russia and Saudi blew up since our last call, when that happened, it was really it resulted in an overreaction in the markets that neither Russia nor Saudi anticipated. Much deeper decline in the price of oil, and a lot of disruption. And so I think there's now a greater sharing of objective that the degree of disruption that was introduced wants to be mitigated by all parties. I think it's going to be a challenge because the oversupply, as I mentioned at the beginning of our discussion, is north of 20 million barrels a day. There's no single player who can contribute meaningfully to rebalancing that overnight or even in the next month or two. So I think for the next several quarters, the rebalancing is going to be a huge focus of attention. I think in the longer run, it'll be better. But first of all, we have to contain the spread of the virus. Once that happens and people can get back to something closer to normal, but it'll be a new normal. It won't be just a return to the old normal. But once that happens, the ability to manage the oversupply will be better. I anticipate that to be in the third and fourth quarters of this year. The challenge in the coming weeks and the next couple of months is going to be formidable, and I think we'll probably want to be talking about that on more than one occasion. The most encouraging thing I've heard, though, is that both Russia and Saudi understand that they're losers in that that move for market share that was made in recent weeks. And I think they're going to look to work cooperatively. But they're going to expect the U.S. also to work with them. And we have some real structural and cultural differences about accommodating, about trying to manipulate the market, if you will, by cutting back artificially on supply. So how that gets managed from here, nobody has the exact answer yet. There are some self-correcting forces that will be triggered. The low prices are unsustainable in terms of developing new supply in almost all the basins of the world. So over time, that self-correcting force will kick in. The low prices are stimulative to demand, but not when we're exercising social distancing,
right,
as we are today. So hopefully in the next 2 or 3 months, we'll have a better answer on how we're working on containing the virus, and then we can address more correctly and more effectively the rebalancing of the oversupply.
Okay. Well, Tom Petrie with Petrie Partners, great information, greatly appreciate it. And yes, let's talk very soon again because affordable, reliable, and efficient energy makes our lives better. This show's brought to you by Liberty Oilfield Services. Tom Petrie, thanks so much.
Thank you, Kim.
Okay. Have a great weekend. And so today, be grateful for what we do. Read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music. Communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. And our quote for today is from Teddy Roosevelt. He said, "We must show, not merely in times of great crisis, but in the everyday affairs of life, the qualities of practical intelligence, of courage, of hardihood, and endurance, and above all, the power of devotion to a lofty ideal which made the great men who founded this republic in the days of Washington, which made great the men who preserved this republic in the days of Abraham Lincoln, and now it's our turn." So God bless you, and God bless America.